Welcome to this press conference with Amina Mohamed of Kenya. Madam Mohamed will give a brief opening statement and then she will take your questions. We have 30 minutes, and to repeat once again, please limit yourself to one question in the interests of equity and time. Madam Mohamed, you have the floor.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Amina Mohamed, and I am one of the candidates for the position of Director General of WTO. I have been here before. I haven't been in this room, but I think I've met many of you before at encounters such as this, where we've had discussions on the goings on in the WTO. I'm a trained lawyer, and I'm a professional diplomat. I've had the privilege of working on major issues on the agenda of global governance and diplomacy. I believe that I'm uniquely qualified by training, by experience, and a track record of delivery, especially here at the WTO. A lifetime of exposure in professional diplomacy and negotiations on a wide range of global issues place me on a sound technical footing to lead this organization if members decide to give me the job. I left Geneva 7 years ago when I completed my final task here as the chairperson of the General Council. But I neither lost sight nor allowed myself to stray away from the issues that were being discussed here at the WTO. I went on to work in other areas of governance, environmental protection, constitution drafting, targeted at domestic conflict and dispute resolution, in a multi-ethnic society such as ours, areas of poverty reduction, diplomacy, and foreign policy. I'm hopeful and confident that the choice of WTO members should rationally result from competition, from rational debate, from merit and fairness. On this 30 January morning here in Geneva, these are the platforms on which I asked members for support and for them to evaluate my candidature. Let me also say this, that the best years of this organization are not in the past. They are in its future. There's always a golden past, but the best is never in the past. Thank you for your attention.
Questions, please. Dan Prusen, please.
Yes, Daniel Prusen with BNA Washington. Ms. Mohamed, I just want to ask you about a little bit of a controversy. You, of course, are the candidate from Kenya. You're also a member of the African Union, and the African Union's Executive Council issued a statement last July saying that their candidate was going to be the gentleman from Ghana. So I was wondering why Kenya decided to put forward your candidacy, and does that not make it more difficult for an African candidate to succeed, given you're essentially dividing support among African countries? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Daniel, and it's really good to see you. As I said in the statement that I just made, I'm hoping that members of this organization are going to judge my candidature on the basis of merit, of competence, of my track record, especially here at the WTO, and of fairness and a fair hearing. I don't think that I started off wanting to divide the African group. As a lawyer, I clearly understood what the procedures for endorsement of African candidates was all about. And I would actually encourage all of you to look at those procedures. The procedures relate to election processes. They do not make any reference In fact, I dare say that they're not intended for selection or appointment processes. And therefore, we did not violate any African procedures. In fact, and I told this to colleagues, and I think it's fair that I should say this here as well, my government decided to nominate me in March. My friend Alan got the African endorsement in July. And in March, we had a long discussion at Capitol on whether my name should be taken forward to the AU. And I advised against it on the informed basis that, in fact, those procedures are not intended for election, for selection processes, but are supposed to be used for elections, elections that are over within a day, obviously. And so, I mean, it would be useful, obviously, for you to look at, at those procedures yourself. But my intention was definitely not to break the African solidarity. But since I want to lead the World Trade Organization, which is a global organization, I'm hoping that the support that I will receive if I do will be across the board, that it will be broad support, that it will not be only African support. And that's why I said that my candidature is based on fair play, merit, competence, and I'm hoping that's how I'd be judged, not as an African candidate, but as a nominee from Kenya who wants to serve this global organization.
Yes, please. The question here.
Catherine Fiancombo-Conga for a Chinese news agency, Xinhua. Madam, you are three. We have here three female candidates, one from the Latin continent, Latin America, one from Asia, and you from Africa. So how do you intend to make a difference also among the candidates by being a woman? And if you have the opportunity to become DG of WTO, how would you like to make a difference being a woman and also an African woman?
Oh, thank you very much. My candidacy was actually not based on any gender considerations. It was based on what I said before, on the track record of delivery here at WTO as trade policy chairman, as dispute settlement body chairman, and as general counsel chair, who actually presided over the selection process of Pascal Lamy. However, having said that, I think it would actually be a wonderful signal if the membership of this organization decided that a woman, preferably an African woman, should take over, right, at the helm of the WTO. I think it would send a very, very powerful signal. It would send a powerful signal to women. It would also send a powerful signal to Africa. Africa is a continent that's on the move. 6 of the 10 fastest growing economies are in Africa. And it will be a sign of recognition that Africa is doing well and that Africa has the merit to lead an organization such as this one. And so I actually do hope that that happens. And as a woman, I'll tell you what Madame Zuma told me in Addis. She said 50% of the population of the world is women, maybe over 50 actually, and the rest were born by women. So there you go. I think it's deserving that a woman should get this post.
The question is for Peter.
Ms. Mohammed, my name is Peter Kenny. I'm from Independent Newspaper Group of South Africa. I'd like to ask you this question. Some of the candidates have stressed to us that the WTO is a member-driven organization. But, of course, the issue that's been most in the public limelight in recent years has been its inability to clinch the Doha round. In your candidacy as a leader of the WTO, what are going to be your priorities, and how do you think that you could make a difference to solving this long-standing unsolved issue? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. I think that, first of all, as you yourself have mentioned, the WTO is a member-driven organization. And the decisions on negotiations, on rule-making, on implementation, have to be made by the members. Now, as Director General, as the leader of the Secretariat, I think there's some measures that one can put in place. One of the measures would be to ensure that you have a stable forum for negotiating consensus among the membership. I think it's critically important that you continuously encourage the members to reach consensus on issues. I think the other thing is that one has to have priorities. And I think it's time, after 12 years of stalled negotiations, to think of modernizing the global trade agenda, upgrading it so that it can respond much more effectively to challenges of the 21st century. The issues that the WTO should actually be taking into consideration right now, issues that relate to overarching concerns, global concerns, food security, climate change, and others. So I think that you need to have an agenda that has been upgraded, that has been modernized, that can respond effectively. I also think that you need to create a coalition of negotiators who then drive the process. And I think that is made even much more, it's made much more likely by the fact that the membership has grown. It has grown, and that you have some really important members that joined in 2001 and others that joined last year. And it's fair to say that they should be brought much more on board in driving the negotiations. I think it would be also important to make sure that you reaffirm the diamond standard of the WTO as a rules-based institution and as an institution that actually delivers results. I think that Bali is going to be critical. I think Bali is going to be critical as a place where we're going to reap the low-hanging fruit and agree to move forward on those, and where we can develop an agenda for the post-Bali period. And so, as Director General who comes in 3 months before Bali, I think it would be extremely important to be engaged not as much in what will happen at Bali, but in what governments and members should be developing for the post-Bali period. So I think that's how I would answer that question.
Questions? S'il vous plaît, vous avez la parole.
Boris Engelson, a local freelancer. No doubt you are qualified, but why do you want the job? Do you want to spend your whole life in politics or diplomacy?
Thank you. I also think I'm qualified. I want the job, not because I don't have a job. I actually do have a job. Right now, I'm an Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. I'm Deputy Executive Director of UNEP, an extremely important organization. But trade was always my first priority. And trade was something that I enjoyed negotiating. And I think I can make a contribution. I also think that having been away from Geneva has given me an insight into what works and what may not work, and what governments are looking for, and what communities are looking for, and what individuals in country are looking for, and why they will move forward if delegations here do not move the negotiations forward. Because it's clear for me that communities want to make progress, they want to develop, they want to create wealth, they want employment. And so having been there, I think I can make a contribution here. I can bring an insight from capital, from the region, from another international organization that may help to move things here. So I want the job because I want to make a contribution, and not because I just want a job.
Jamil Chada, please.
Ambassador, good to see you again. I was wondering if you have had any talks in Latin America regarding a mutual, let's say, support agreement with any of the countries, if you're planning to travel to Latin America at any point. So.
No, we haven't had any discussions yet. And I tell you why, because I think all of us were very busy preparing for our presentations and also for this meeting with the press. But going forward, I think, yes, we intend to go. I think we'll go as a delegation from home, led by one of our ministers, and we intend to visit a number of Latin American countries. Yes, we do, because we need support from everybody. As I said before, the support has to be broad. And I think the issues that you know, we will need to discuss, including the issue that you raised at first.
Questions? No? Well, thank you very much. Just to provide this bit of information for you, our next press conference will be at 4:30 with Mr. Ahmad Hindawi of Jordan. Thank you very much, and bon appétit.